This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You know how we're doing it around here. Listener appreciation parties right around the corner. And we want to take care of you, the listener, and whether you listen over the airwaves or you're listening via the app and other means, the stream, etc. We want to give everybody a fair chance to win. And they're giving us more opportunities because the suspects are putting these tickets in high demand. And if you win, you get a Usual Suspects t-shirt on top of it. So we're going to do it this hour. I'm going to let Barry pick the time again and the caller. But we're going to give you all a heads up so that you have a chance no matter how you are listening to us. Sometime this hour. And the time would be?
We'll do 2:40.
2:40 today. No advanced warning other than that. At 2:40 today, you need to be ready to dial, and we will take caller number.
We don't have an intern, do we? We'll do caller number 20.
Caller 20 at 2:40. You get two tickets to the listener appreciation party and at least one Usual Suspects t-shirt. That's the way we do business around here. 713-780-3776. The party is August the 15th. It starts at 6:30 p.m. If you can make it and you're over 21, try and win them. If you can't, don't. Because, like I said, there's a lot of people that want these bad boys. So only if you can go and you enjoy the shows, then we'll see you there if you win. Big City Wings is going to provide the grub and Coors Light the beverages. And it is going to be a fun night here at Gown Media. It's our second time doing this. We had a great time last time, so we're looking forward to meeting a lot of the listeners, hanging out, talking shop and other things. So, again, invitation only on the party. Must be 21 plus to attend and or win. So good luck. 2:40, caller 20.
Right, good there. Luck. Hey, somebody texted the show and said, I'm kind of shocked Joel isn't the one up there covering Texans practice since he's from the area and a Packers fan. What happened there?
No one asked.
You didn't ask?
I wasn't asked. I didn't know it was even an option. And then all of a sudden I heard Granato was already there. But you got to figure, too, like I said, Granato used to work there. We both have a mutual friend in Alonzo Highsmith, who until a year ago was the Packers director of player personnel, but he went with all the new crew at Cleveland. So John used to stay at Alonzo's house and go, so that was built in. But he said he's got a friend there, so I'm sure he's, you know, I could have stayed at my sister's house or something too. But
oh yeah,
you know, I got relatives up there.
Seen pictures of Nick?
Yeah, that I didn't want to see.
There we go. Yeah. This nonsense.
What?
What you said was inaccurate, sir. I'm in the great words of John Granata. You said was inaccurate.
What I said was inaccurate.
Yeah. Okay. I do have a lot of high school, my high school buddies and stuff still live back there too. So there was plenty of opportunities if it was given, but I wasn't
gotta
approached.
Ask next time.
So I guess so.
Somebody on the text line said, I can confirm the chicken hypnosis story. My grandma used to raise chickens and had lots of fun with that when I was young.
Really?
That was from the 315. Where's 315?
I do not know.
What is that area code? Let's see. 315 is New York. New York City.
I thought New York
get
was
a rope.
212.
There's a more than one location.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to
New
think
York.
Of the New York area code that I know, but I never knew 315.
Syracuse, New York.
Oh, so Jake Asman's texting.
Was that Jake or Charlie Palillo listening?
Good. Either way, you got a shot.
I bet you Charlie has hypnotized a chicken at least once in his life. I'd be willing to bet you.
Could have been Paul Gallant, Mike Meltzer.
I doubt it's Milt.
They're all accusers.
Steelers fan wants a shout out for the departed in my hometown of El Paso and Dayton. Go Miners. Yeah, man. That was pretty awful this weekend.
Tough back to back.
And then you had more shootings in Chicago. And then social media became unfollowable.
Yeah.
Especially
when O.J. Simpson is putting out videos.
Oh, did he really?
What was
making
his
comments about the El Paso shooting. It was just bad.
I saw that and I was like, my first thought was, what would he know about? Oh.
Oops. The responses to the tweet, though?
He wouldn't know about killing. What would he?
Yeah.
Allegedly. What? I didn't see the responses. What
check
were some,
him out. Go to his Twitter and check out the responses. They're pretty funny.
I try not to go to his Twitter. I try not to support him in any way, shape,
I'm not. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I follow him right now.
Do you?
Yeah, because he's so.
Sellout ass Nick.
Like, I tend to give temporary follows to people like that just to see what they say.
See what's going on.
Because, you know, they're not afraid to say anything. They're right. They're just going to spray it.
I checked in with a couple of comedian friends of mine in El Paso and one of the bookers out there at the club, but I don't know a ton of people out there. It's just off. Nora was asking me, she goes, well, you've been a couple times. Is it a scary city to live in? I was like, no, the people are great. Yeah. It's a great city. Because she doesn't know. I mean, she has no idea. So she's just curious. Is it, you know, if that's the only news you see about El Paso? And I was like, no, it's a great city with great people. And it's really sad. And then, of course, you know, everybody comes out and has their opinion on gun control. And it just becomes this back and forth again. And my only thing I want to say about it is at some point, both sides are going to have to figure out that the only way that this is going to be solved and that the only way that this country is going to be able to move forward is if both sides of the gun control debate can learn how to compromise.
Absolutely. Meet in the middle.
And yep. I've seen some people that are like, well, why should I have to compromise? And no one's ever, all they want me to do is give up my guns. That's not necessarily true. There is a compromise that could be made. This to me, this issue is so much easier to find a middle ground on than many of the other issues that have, I wouldn't say plagued our society, but that have, you know, been an issue politically, like abortion and stuff like that. That's a much harder middle ground to come to. But there's got to be a middle ground in this gun control debate. I know there is. And I have my own thoughts, but it doesn't matter what I think. Until the right people come together and have these discussions, it's going to be an issue. And I feel like both sides need to compromise.
And, you know, my first concern was Dayton, because of the fact that one of the guys I was talking about, my best friend growing up's daughter, goes to Dayton. And so my first concern was, because obviously that's the place that's kind of like the hot spot to go out, is she okay? And luckily she hadn't gone back up there yet. But to your point, the biggest thing is, don't try and pull the wool over people's eyes and tell the people the sky is purple when the sky is blue, and come out and sit and come out when you're in a high-ranking political position in this state and say that it has nothing to do with guns. It has everything to do with video games and more prayer in school. I mean, that's just complete. It's not even close to dealing with the issue. You're right. There's got to be compromise on both sides of the aisle. But the first step in trying to get to that point is face the real issues. Don't tell me that it's because of video games and the lack of prayer in school.
I love this, because somebody texts immediately, shall not be infringed, quote. That means that there is no middle ground, no room for compromise. Well, it's that exact attitude that is going to be the downfall of what we try to accomplish in this country. It's that kind of attitude that's already affected politics in this country. And I would never ask someone to give up their guns. I'm a gun owner. Right. All right. Am I in the NRA? No, because I don't need that group to tell me what to believe.
But you're also
or what
not
to think. But at the same time, for you to come out and say, do you realize that the Second Amendment was written because do you understand the ramifications of why a well-formed militia was needed to defend themselves against Britain and the government? I mean, we don't have a need for muskets now. But again, I'm a gun owner. I'm not telling you can't own guns. I'm saying there's a middle ground. That's all I'm suggesting, is that people need to stop being so rigid on both sides of it. Some people are like, no guns. That's too rigid. Both sides need to find a middle ground.
And that's sad. That's my whole point. The thing is, because I thought about you, because I know that you are a gun owner. And the one thing that came to mind was, you protect yourself with a handgun. You don't have to protect yourself with an assault rifle, AK-47, high-powered, multiple magazine type situation.
Somebody texted and said, can't be infringed, guy. Just skip the whole well-regulated part. Exactly. We're talking about an amendment that was written for muskets and the British. Find a middle ground. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. We'll continue to roll on with the show. It's the usual suspects. Hour number 2, 3-hour extravaganza. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more in mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
back. Hour number two, 3 hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Since we were on the topic of football, gentlemen, I did want to also throw out there, since we all know that the offensive line is a position of need, that the Baltimore Ravens and offensive lineman Alex Lewis announced that he was going to be released. And he said, obviously, where one door shuts, another door opens. Again, this is another opportunity, if you're the Houston Texans, to take a guy that has started 10 or more games a season for the Baltimore Ravens and say, hey, this guy might be able to help you. You have all the means, including the cap space necessary if you need it, to at least kick the tires and say, hey, if a guy like that is out there, they're probably looking for an opportunity where they will get a chance to play. Thus, the Texans should be front and center.
Yeah, at this point, there's really not many guys that aren't going to be an upgrade for this Texans offensive line, and it's worth exploring. And again, I don't want to jump to a conclusion and say that we don't know if they don't go to their scouts or they don't go to their whatever the hell they got going on over there and say, hey, we need to take a look at this guy. So we can't assume that they're not, but the lack of urgency, it feels like, could be an issue, because if you are going to make a move, if you are going to go out and get a Williams or even a Gordon or anybody like that, wouldn't you want to have them here for the bulk of camp to get to know the offense, to build some chemistry with Deshaun Watson, to build some chemistry with their fellow offensive lineman in the case of Williams? I would want all that to happen, so there would be a high level of urgency put on filling some of these holes that exist that you think you can go out and do, instead of sitting back, which is typical Texans, to sit back and wait for cuts. Hey, let's get everyone else's garbage and try to make something out of it. We'll get some duct tape and build us a backup running back or add a cut for the offensive line. Well, that's why you're in the position that you're in, because everybody you have is everyone that people didn't want to begin with, or a bad draft pick. Why are you making the exasperated face and pounding your
fist?
We
just brought it up, right? So I decided I was going to Google search Alex Lewis, because you and I were talking about it in the break a little while ago, and I wanted to see how he rated out and everything like that.
You know the road guy. He's not great, not awful.
You know the first thing that popped up?
What?
The New York Jets have acquired offensive lineman Alex Lewis from the Ravens for a seventh-round pick in 2020, and now the Jets have fortified their offensive line, just like getting Khalil out of retirement last week, while the Texans, whoever may be, have missed out.
Yeah, pretty disappointing. But again, if you could have gone out and got the guy for a seventh round pick, was it worth it? He wasn't a top 20
guy. Based on how their picks have been in the third round and below, sometimes just kick the tires and say, hey, a seventh round pick, I'll take a shot.
I mean, yeah, well, yeah, that's just it too. I mean, you can always cut the guy if you don't think that he's better than Fulton or Kelemente or anybody else that you have, Manx or whoever. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there. I really don't know what the hell they're doing. I'll say this as a Texans fan, not as a neutral observer and just sports radio guy, but as a fan, I want to assume that this team and this front office has a plan that I just don't know about. But damn, it doesn't look like it. It looks like a team in disarray that's trying to put on a good face, but behind the scenes, there's just so much going wrong.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Give the fans some hope. Let them know.
But here's the thing.
But Bill O'Brien wants to be the guy that's like, oh, no, we're just trying to be the best team. Give the fans something to cheer for you for. Jeez.
But if you, just like what you just said, okay? You want to give the fans a chance and you want to be the best team you can be. If you want to be the best team you can be, you don't have the leeway of the team that you idolize, the New England Patriots, of being able to take a year off without a general manager so that you might be a better team when you get the guy you want, and at least 12 months later when his contract expires. You need to worry about this team this year being competitive enough to not get any worse and not have to rely on another 9-game winning streak to try and make sure you stay relevant, only so you can get blasted in the playoffs. And we've talked about it over and over again. He acts like the Patriots. He brings in all the people he can from the Patriots. But the one thing missing is he doesn't win like the Patriots. And until you do, You've gotten all the hall passes and passes that you deserved and probably more than you deserved. And yet, at any when it who's first of all, who's going to call him on the carpet? Because I don't know if Cal's going to. I don't know if anybody is. And he gets a pass from everybody. And then everybody at the end of the year, when they're all ticked off because the team underachieved and didn't do what they wanted them to do and expected them to do, they're like, well, but there's always next year. How many there's always next year's too before you start making people accountable?
Yeah, I don't know that I necessarily equate this with the whole New England of the South thing. I just feel like that this is a team that the front office doesn't know what the hell is going on. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. There's it's just in disarray. At least that's the appearance. So for me, it's just as a fan, just come forth. And I know you want to be hush-hush and tight-lipped and not give us anything. And even some of the interviews I saw yesterday and last night where they were talking about going to Green Bay and everyone's like, oh, well, you know, just want to go up there and be a good teammate and this and that. Okay, enough. I get it. The players are going to say that. But at least come out and say, look, guys, we have a plan. We're trying to make some moves. We're trying to make this team better. We're exploring all of our options. They don't do any of that.
Well, and they don't do any of that. If you're John Dorsey in Cleveland, you have people that are lined up now in your organization, whether it be an Elliott Wolf or an Alonzo Highsmith, that if he was for some reason or another not in the equation, you would know exactly who's running the show and you would know exactly, you know, who to go to if you wanted to talk to them about anything. You know, if you're the Patriots, if you don't have a general manager for a year, we all know Belichick runs the show anyway and he owns it. And they have enough quality personnel people that you wouldn't worry about it. And their record speaks for itself. When you look at the Texans and you see, like you said, all this disarray and everything that just screams lack of organization within the organization, how can you afford to do that unless you continually get a pass over and over again from everybody surrounding the team and from without, and going outwardly to where it's expected? Like you said, when you see Bill O'Brien at a press conference, he expects that he should just be given a pass or whatever he says goes. If I don't want to talk about it today, John, then everybody should just let it go? No, the media has a job to do too, and everybody has a right to know. Like, you kind of touched on it with Granato, but I'd be really curious if someone in the press conference just basically said, hey, whether it's Trent Williams or it's Melvin Gordon or it's another move that's potentially being, you know, considered, who's the guy making the call? And who would they call if they called you first? Just to see if he'd answer it, because no one knows what's going on in there.
It's just, I don't know. It's frustrating as a media member. It's frustrating as a fan. And they're going to wonder why guys like you and me come on the air and badmouth them. It's because they're a joke right now. And the model that's being put forth for Houston sports is a team that looks like the front runner to win the World Series and a Rockets team that even though they haven't been to a Western Conference Finals in a couple of years.
Well, they were there 2 years. Not last.
I just said a couple years. Okay. They got there. They yeah. still got there.
Right.
And they've been trying to get better. And they haven't. I mean, this, you just look at this team, and there's no other way to put it from my perspective, but right now, they're a joke. They've got weapons, but everything else going on, it's just laughable. Some of the stuff that they do and they get away with by the fans
that's
that just
the thing
blindly
that
go.
Me.
The fans are so loyal and bless their hearts. That's great. But you guys will just show up because you quote love football? Yeesh. Y'all didn't show up when the Astros were losing 100 games.
No, and I did the sports bet video last week where I said, until the fans and everybody else start holding Bill O'Brien and this organization accountable, they're just going to keep doing what they do, and you guys are going to have a hard time realizing the fact that they're all about making money and it's a business. And the winning, if it comes, okay. If it doesn't, they're still going to do what they're going to do. So we can talk about it more if you want to talk about some football. We got a positive to talk about, and that is the Houston Astros seem to be more and more dominant by the day. So we kind of touched on it at the start of the show between the group no-hitter and the fact that Justin Verlander put another good outing on the board. The Astros are playing great baseball, and that's something we can get to in the second half as well. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP Lister Line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. Second half's around the corner right here on ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of the show. ESPN 97.5, Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel, Gal Media Studios on a Monday. Hope everybody's having a good one as they get the week started the right way by listening to us. We appreciate you.
Of course we do. Yeah. We love all of our listeners equally.
All of them?
Yes.
As you struggle through some of the
text
messages.
Line is, it's okay. People get passionate about their guns. I get it. Real quick, just a couple texts. Mm-hmm. Can we get to those and then we'll get to somebody said my wife and I just tried Big City Wing Saturday and loved it. I'm definitely trying to win some tickets to attend the party now. That's very outstanding. Cool. Mm-hmm. Hey, Barry, me and my wife are going to go see David Spade in November at the Houston Improv for the first time. Any hints, tips, or pointers? A couple things. Do know that there's a two-item minimum when you go, so you have to buy like two drinks or a drink and a food item or whatever. That's per person. I would get there a little bit early. That way you can get seated up a little bit closer unless you buy the VIP or whatever. And my advice is always try to get out there Saturday early show if you can. Those are usually the best shows of the weekends is the Saturday early show. Other than that, just don't talk. Don't heckle. Have fun.
So I found this article on Zach Greinke in The Athletic.
Okay.
And it was the beat writer for the Diamondbacks basically pointing out how Greinke's not a bad guy. He just doesn't have a filter.
He has like a social anxiety issue, right?
Well, he also just shoots straight. He just doesn't try and candy coat anything.
Is that related to his social anxiety or disorder?
And I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night, and I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. And I think it sounds like it very well could be, but some of these quotes from some of the Diamondbacks players were just classic. Like Archie Bradley, the reliever, said, some guys, you make a bad pitch to lose a game, and guys don't bring it up. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to even approach you with it. And he comes up to you and says, what were you thinking? A fastball and a 2-2 count? You realize he hits 90% of fastballs. That's so dumb. And at first, you take it the wrong way, and then you're like, oh, wow. He's just honest, and he's right. It wasn't a good pitch, and it wasn't the right time to throw that. And you're like, wow. And then he says things like, he goes to pitchers, and basically he claims to be a great hitter, and he believes that he's a great hitter.
Uh-huh, and he is.
And so he goes and tells pitchers, like, when he's gotten hits off of them, and he gets under their skin that way. And he said, there was a point last year, one of the players said that he told me I was playing terrible. Then there was a point he told me I was playing very well. I just appreciated that he was genuine either way, and he never faked it. He never told me something that he thought I should hear. He just told me like it is. And I thought that was pretty funny. And then one of the position players said, I walked up to him one day and I said, hey, you got a favorite strikeout? Like, is there a guy you idolized growing up that you struck out? And he gave me a nod. Then he was thinking. And then he started laughing. Then he, like, all-out belly laughs on me. And I said, you got one? And he was like, yeah. It was actually right here at Chase Field. I threw a changeup in the other batter's box, and the guy swung and almost fell over. And I said, Zach, that was me 2 years ago, wasn't it? And he started laughing even harder. And he goes, yeah, it was you. And walked away.
That's outstanding.
So he's just a classic. And everybody's like worried about the fact that, that he's going to have a hard time fitting in this locker room.
Oh, I don't think so.
But he's also,
I don't think so. I think that they know, I'm sure his reputation. It's kind of like if you went out and got Ricky Henderson, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
He's got social anxiety disorder. He's got whatever disorder he has.
But he's not pleased.
He's known as a straight shooter. Yeah, I don't think he's going to disrupt the chemistry. I'm sure you saw the video of him and Verlander. Yep. Verlander showing him how he throws his fastball and his spin rate and all that stuff. And they were talking about on the broadcast, I think yesterday, about how he and Machado and Cole – or sorry, Maldonado, Machado. Maldonado and Cole were all talking, or maybe it was Miley. I don't know, but – he's already integrating himself pretty well with the rotation. Yep. And I think those guys know what they were getting. I saw one where AJ Ellis of the Dodgers had written an article for the Players Tribune. And he talked about his favorite Zach moment was whoever he was backing up. I think it was Yasmani Grandal got hit and had to leave the game. So Ellis says he comes in cold and he just walks out to the mound to talk to him and get his bearings. Just because he didn't get to warm up, he didn't do anything. He walks up to Greinke, and Greinke says, hey, man, just put down whatever you want. Everything is nasty right now. just like that. And Ellis goes, and you know what? It was. That's Zach for you. He just knew he had everything he had. Doesn't matter what you put down. Everything's nasty right now. That's so funny.
And he said even the new guy, so Adam Jones comes over from the Orioles. And he said, like, he's getting on the bus early in the season, and Grinke's just staring at him. And he said, when did you become good? And Jones said, wow. I kind of looked at him, and I said, what do you mean? I've got 12 years in the bigs. I'm 33 years old. I've been pretty good most of the way. And he was like, no, your first year was okay. You turned it on in high A and double A. Then on triple A, something clicked. I'm like, what the hell's going on with you? And he was dead serious, and he didn't start. He was like, you know, with other pitchers, he said, guys would come into the league, and he'd go, let's make a bet. I get on the mound, and I guarantee you I'm going to get you out. And he was like, I don't think so. And he said, and you get on the mound, you see if you can get me out. And I wanted to fight him. And he goes, and by the way, you're 0 for 9 against me in your career. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. But yeah, they said he's a video monger. He can't get enough of the video room. He's a stat guy. He keeps it all like in this steel trap of a mind.
That's crazy.
And I think as long as you have you take it in the right way,
yeah.
Like everybody can have a bad day, but if you understand, kind of like we say with other guys, if that's Zach being Zach, and you know he's not trying to be malicious,
yeah.
And tick you off, but he's just kind of
a quirky dude,
yeah,
yeah.
You just go with it.
You went to the game yesterday, huh, Nick?
I did, yeah.
Was Berman there?
I did not see him, to be honest with you, because I got Verlander and left. I didn't see him. No, I don't think he was.
Westbrook's out of town, so he wasn't at the airport.
I went to the game Saturday. Was it Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Saturday.
Must have been Saturday because I didn't go Saturday.
Yeah, because
I
went to the no hitter show, right?
I went to the no hitter game, and it was an interesting game to be at. I saw Sanchez, by the way. I was sitting next to, I won't name who, someone from a competing radio station. And we were talking about Sanchez. And I was like, wow, not bad for a throw-in that he comes in and you know, six hitless innings. I mean, if he could have kept his pitch count. And he goes, oh, he's not a throw-in. He's a stud. I was like, he's got the worst ERA among qualified pitchers in baseball right now.
3-14 coming in.
3-14. He hasn't won 10 games over his last 3 years. He had the 1 year 4 years ago where he won the ERA title. But since then, he's been a mess. All of his numbers are skewed. He's trending the wrong way. Like, he's a project. Now, if there's any team that could turn it around, it's this Astros team. But we were going complete opposite ends of the spectrum on what we thought about this guy. But I'll say this about... about the seventh inning, Berman shows up. And you can tell that he's only there for the giveaway. Because what I hear someone say out of my left ear is, it'll be here in the middle of the seventh, Mark. And he goes, okay. And then he sits down. And I don't know if he had eaten just before he came in there. Or if maybe he had a hair, you know, a certain kind of hair in his throat. But the entire time I'm trying to watch the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, this is all I hear the whole time.
Is he coughing?
I was like,
no,
what?
No, he's powerlifting.
I was like,
you've seen Mark.
What the hell is that noise? I looked down and it's Berman. I was like, good Lord, go get some water, dude.
In the press box?
Yes, in the press box.
Wasn't anybody else getting a little annoyed by it?
So you know where our seat is, right,
yeah.
Nick? It's not Telemundo that's next to us. Who is it that's next to us?
I think it's 610 to the left.
No, it's 610 to the left. I'm talking about to the right.
It's a Spanish media outlet. I just don't know who it is.
I don't remember who it is, but it was the chick that's from there and then their videographer or whatever that was next to him. And I looked over at Berman because I wanted to get his attention, be like, do you need some water? And they looked at me like, what is going on? And I'm not kidding you, man. For the next hour, every 10 to 15 seconds, I was like, what on earth is happening right now? And I recorded it. And unfortunately, the video or the audio that I got wasn't really good enough to air because he was, you know, several seats down. But good Lord, it was still loud. And I was just like, man, I've been there where you get a tickle in your throat, but I'm not going to subject an entire press box to the whole time. Bro, go outside. go. I don't know.
He's lucky. It was a night game, so Barry Warner was already in bed. Because otherwise, Warner would be the guy that basically would get up and police the press box.
It was the worst. I was just like, oh my God, what is happening right now with Mark Berman? Is he choking to death? Is there like a has he swallowed a whole chicken wing? What is happening?
Did you just get done talking to Daryl Morey before the
game? You ain't right.
I just asked a question.
You ain't right.
I just asked a question. I don't know.
It was crazy, man. I was like, oh my God, this is awful. It wasn't good.
And we all know there is press box etiquette. If people out there aren't aware of it,
there should be.
There's no cheering in the press box.
No.
And for things like that, you need to be respectful of the fact that there's a lot of people working right as the game's going on. Right. They're writing the game story. Or they're... they have social media accounts where their job is to tweet during the game updates and things, quotes, all the different things going on. And it's hard to concentrate when that stuff happens.
Yeah, it wasn't good. But the game was good.
Yeah,
I was
fantastic.
Glad I got to see the no-no. I left with one out in the ninth so I could make it to the smattering performance. But it was a good game to see.
Great game to see, right?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I thought for sure there would be a couple of... And how funny is it? And I told the guy that I was sitting next to from a competing station, I was like, how ironic would it be that you go and get two arms from the bullpen that participate in a no-hitter?
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be kind of ironic if Greinke comes out and craps the bed
and gives up
like 7-1 2/3 or something
a team
like that?
Knows him.
Yeah.
Because he's playing a National League team in the Rockies that he's pitching against. But you think about it, too. On the flip side, too, the two combined no-nos this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think enough was made of the circumstances around the Astros one. Because we all know that the Angels one had all of the different coincidences that coincided with Skaggs' death and all that other stuff. But how about, from an Astros perspective, it's Hall of Fame weekend. You're retiring the numbers of some of the guys that have put up no-hitters for you in the organization's history. They're all in the building, Mike Scott, Nolan Ryan, to name a few. And then in front of all those guys, your team goes out and combines on a no-hitter as if to say, we got you.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool, and I don't think the national media caught on to that to make it a big enough story, because that was very, very cool. And both situations this year in the major leagues, the combined no-hitters had a lot of backstory.
Well, I think we talked about it last week, how the Astros sat down with Gerrit Cole when he got here. And went over here's what you should do, here's what you shouldn't do. And he was very open to that. So I'm sure that they did the same thing with Aaron Sanchez and explained to him, look, you're better when you're doing the follow. Your stuff is good.
Because
he has good stuff. Yeah, throw more curveballs. That's your out pitch.
Yeah.
You've not been throwing that enough. You know, you need to work down in the zone more, or work away, or whatever it is that their scouts and their analytics and everything else has told them. So to have him come out and perform like that once is great. Now let's see if that was a fluke or have they really already made him a better pitcher. It's not going to surprise me or anyone else if they have. That's just how it works now.
Before they can get the time to get their hands on him in the video room and really break it down in depth, you could tell in the first game their philosophy was, like you said, your curveball and your off-speed stuff is dynamic. So stick to it and go to it and trust it and use it a lot more than you use your fastball. And you saw the percentages after the game. He threw so many more curveballs than he had been throwing in Toronto or, like you mentioned, over his last couple of years.
Yeah.
And he was effective doing so. But then the other irony is, right after the game, Brent Strom is rushed to the hospital.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And then he has emergency surgery on his abdomen, and he's out for a little while, so he's not going to get probably the same kind of instruction he's going to get when Strom comes back.
Here's what's crazy about Aaron Sanchez. He had a 6.07 ERA going into that. He lowered his ERA on the year to 5.76, which is pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
He was 3-14 in Toronto. In 17 games, he's won 3. In one game with the Astros, he's 1-0.
Yeah.
He's literally already won a third of what he did all season in Toronto over 17 games and 23 starts.
It's amazing.
Crazy.
Right?
Crazy.
And like you said, whether you call him a throw-in or not, he was an afterthought based on Zach Greinke. So
yeah,
it's a nice little pickup right there. And by the way, to make matters even... I won't say worse, but did you see Derek Fisher's first game?
What happened?
So Derek Fisher, on top of already upset he got traded, his first game was in right field. He came running in to catch a ball, and he caught it in the face.
Ball off the face. Nick knows. That's not fun.
There you go. We'll be back with more of the show. Don't go anywhere.
You had a nickel
suspects.
Every time, right, buddy?
ESPN 97.5.
of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city. As we've been covering a lot of ground, we have been covering some ground on some Astros after some Texans. Had John Granato on live from Green Bay. We've talked about hypnotizing a chicken,
which is a real thing. Look it up, Google it. Go to at Barry's Funny. There's a video. People are like, "Oh my God, this is real." Did you watch the video?
Not yet. No,
Nicholas, did you watch the video of how to hypnotize a chicken?
I did not.
It's pretty fascinating. You guys are missing out, I'm telling you.
Well, once I follow you, I'm sure I can get the video.
You see, I'm not going to lose any sleep over
I
that.
Know.
Hey, Barry, if Greinke is pitching tomorrow, does that make him the number two pitcher in the rotation? Not really. I would guess going into the playoffs, he's probably going to be three. And I think it also will depend on a lot of things, but they even talked about it on the broadcast last night, and it makes a ton of sense, but you wouldn't want – If you make Greinke go one or two and you're on the road, especially in the World Series, and you're going to a National League park, you want him hitting. So if they're on the road in a National League park, then he's probably going one or two. If they're at home and the third game is in a National League park, he's going to be three. At this point, you have 1A, 1B, and 1C. And that's now it's just a matter of matchups. And if they have an interleague game, they might try to figure that out. And don't put it past the Astros that they didn't slot him in where he's at, so that if they do have another interleague game down the stretch, that he would be pitching in that series so he could hit.
Yeah, matchups are the biggest thing. And they're going to reset the rotation based on who they're playing in a series, too. And like you said, if you get a team that's heavy on lefties, or you get a team that, you know, when they look at the numbers, and we know they look at the numbers more than just about any team in Major League Baseball, and if they see something that sticks out, they'll set their rotation accordingly. But it's a great problem to have because of the fact you got two power pitchers, you got a fantastic lefty, you've got veterans, you've got playoff experience, you got all the different things. You've got Miley that, you know, is more of a change of pace, as well as Greinke. So you can mix it up any which way you want, and it's all advantage Astros in the fact that you've got so much experience and so many guys that are effective, which is a lot of – I mean, look, I watched the Yankees play again last night, and I've checked in on a lot of their games recently.
Price
you
was
look
awful.
At them, yeah, Price was terrible, but when you look at it, the Red Sox still had opportunities. And there were, you know, the Red Sox were their own worst enemy in a lot of these games where they were losing to the Yankees, making defensive blunders. You and I talked about some of them even last week when they played. So the fact of the matter is, when you look at the Yankees, and I heard Sabathia trying to cover up for the fact that, oh, no, we got no issues in our clubhouse, and we weren't worried about them making a move or not, because we know that if we're healthy, you know, our rotation's going to be just fine. Really?
Yeah. Their rotation hasn't looked good at all.
Is that why you're telling everybody you've had a knee issue for 5 years? Well, then why haven't you gotten it fixed?
God, I almost feel bad for the Yankees.
I never feel
Two
bad
more injuries
the
last night or yeah. this weekend. And
so Hicks, they thought, had needed Tommy John surgery. But he avoided that, but he's out for a while.
Yeah.
And then was it Gleyber Torres?
Yeah.
Towards the end of the game, they had to send him to the hospital because he's got a core injury that they think is going to take a few weeks.
I can't recall in the last 20 years a team that has been this snake bit with injuries like they have this year.
Yeah, for all Astros fans that want to bitch about how many injuries they've had, look, it's not even close to what the Yankees have dealt with.
Time spent on the IL, Yankees are leading the league in that for sure.
But even still, that's not going to bail you out for how bad your rotation is.
Yeah, that's true. That's not always or necessarily the problem with them. A lot of it has been their lineup has been out. But I was looking at this. So Astros have one game on the road or one series left on the road against a National League team. And it's Milwaukee. than September. So I doubt that they look that far ahead, but it's not going to surprise me if I sit here and do the math and figure out when Greinke would pitch, if it would fall in milk. Because that's how they are, man. They are
he knows the
meticulous.
Park.
They are meticulous about everything.
Yeah, and he pitched for the Brewers. He knows the park as well as being, you know, in a National League environment where, like you said, he's a good hitter. So it would be something that they would consider. And I think overall, if you've looked at the landscape of baseball, as I know you and I do, Barry, on a consistent basis, the cream's kind of rising to the top in a lot of ways. You look at it, you mentioned the Brewers. The Brewers had a big series against the Cubs. They got slapped around. And they're starting to fall into the background, and they're going to be lucky if they're fighting for a wild card. We talk about the Red Sox. Red Sox came in, and they tried to send a message a weekend ago by taking it to the Yankees when their starting pitching was having so many issues. Yankees just beat the hell out of the Red Sox all weekend, and now basically they're all but an afterthought.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's sorting itself out in a lot of ways on both sides.
Red Sox 6.5 back from the wild card, definitely not winning the division. So it's a 3-horse race as of right now. I'm not suggesting that the Rangers can't make a run, but they would still have to leapfrog the Red Sox and the Athletics, and then either the Indians or the Rays. And right now, the Indians are up 2 games on the Rays, or so. It's a daunting task. I think this is starting to level out. This is a 3-horse race down the stretch. Yeah. It's either going to be the Indians, Rays, and Athletics, 2 of those 3.
And I think the other thing that, you know, you and I've talked about, and I kept touching on...
For the wild card, by the way.
Right. And I kept touching on whenever we talked about baseball is, at some point, because of the fact that the Yankees had such a big lead in their division, and the Astros, for the most part, have had a good-sized lead in their division. But now with the Greinke trade, it's almost magnified. You're not even worried about the division. I don't even look at the division anymore. I don't look at Oakland. I'm looking at the Yankees and the Dodgers, because my main concern now, like it's their division, is that the Astros have a better record than those two teams. So come playoff time, they have home field advantage when it matters the most.
Yeah. Braves might be a team to keep an eye on, too.
They're another one.
Cubs are still getting some good pitching. I mean, NL right now, as at the top of the NL, they've got some really good teams. I just don't know. I mean, the Dodgers are obviously the cream of the crop over there in the NL, but Twins are still tough.
But they've Yankees, fallen off.
I mean, but when you look at like run differential, so teams that are putting up offensive numbers and not giving up a lot, these are the three division leaders in the AL, and they're plus minus. The Yankees are a plus 133. Twins are a plus 141. Astros are a plus 147. In the American League, the Braves are a plus 58, the Cubs are a plus 76, and the Dodgers are a plus 172. So they have the highest, but the other two teams are kind of, but they're starting to figure it out. I mean, the Cubs and the Braves, I don't think are going to, you know, beat the Dodgers necessarily. The Dodgers are just so loaded. But if I had to pick the teams that would scare me the most, I think I'd go Dodgers, Braves, Cubs in that order over there in the National League.
I would agree with that. And the thing that you look at, too, when you're looking at the Dodgers, they lucked out another win last night.
Yeah.
They found a way to give up the lead and kept coughing it up. And I'm watching that game because of the rain delay in New York with the national TV game. And, no matter what, they just kept finding a way to win until they won it in a walk-off. And they're not going anywhere. That's a team you're going to have to worry about. I don't know if their starting pitching can hold up. And I don't know if their pitching overall is going to hold up. But I know that offensive lineup is really, really tough.
By the way, a couple things. I looked at the schedule and did the 1-2-3-4-5, 1-2-3-4-5. Greinke would be pitching in Milwaukee on the road and where the pitchers hit. So, I said, doesn't surprise me that if they didn't plan that out accordingly. Because that's just how the Astros are. Other thing is I realize that the weather is causing some issues. Best thing to do right now if you're having trouble getting us is download the app. Put that on your phone. It's so easy to use, too. So you won't miss a single second. And while you're at it, if you're downloading the app, go ahead and download Get Upside. Put that on your phone as well. That way you can get cash back on the stuff that you're already paying for, like gas and food. First of all, when you download it, it's completely free. You don't have to sign up for anything or join any, commit to any long-term. None of that. You just put it on your phone and look, to be honest with you, if you don't like using it, just stop using it. You really don't have to use it once you have it installed. But I think you're going to like it because it works. It really does. And we'll talk about the food for a second. But before we do that, when you install GetUpside, make sure you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That'll get you extra cash back when you do your first fill up through the app. But from a food perspective, this is what I love about it is that there's over 100 restaurants in the city where you can get up to 35% cash back through the GetUpside app. And they're always adding new restaurants. In fact, I saw for a while, you know, it was the traditional like Popeyes and Wendy's and Burger King. And then I saw that they had Candelaria's Pizza that they added. There's now La Madeleine that's in there. I'm looking at it right now. I can go around the corner here, get 15% cash back from La Madeleine right now. So this is great. You're going to love this. And you're already eating out, right? You're already grabbing a burger at lunch, maybe stopping and getting some Popeyes on the way home. They've got Mexican food restaurants in there. All for you, and you're already spending the money. So why not get some cash back when you do it? If somebody walked up to you at the table and was like, hey, here's $3 back, you going to turn it down? Absolutely not. So go download GetUpside, put in my promo code Barry, start getting that cash back, and thank me later.